Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's June 12, 2017, and this is episode 577. Following the release of my video on softproofing recently, I received a few questions that helped me to realize that I need to spend a little more time going over the reasons that we even need to use ICC profiles and what they actually do. You may recall from episode 575 that I released a few weeks ago that I talked about using Profoto RGB whenever possible, and some people asked if they should use this for their computer display. If you recall from the video, I showed you the ICC profiles for my two computer screens, and these were very different from my camera profile and my various print media profiles. Profoto RGB is a much wider profile, larger than any of the other device and media profiles that we might use, and this is why I recommend using it when editing our images. But you don't need to use this for your display or when actually printing, as these modes of outputting our images have their own limitations, and it's these very limitations that make ICC profiles necessary in the first place. So the first thing to remember is that the ability to reproduce color varies depending on the device or media on which we display or output our images. ICC profiles are used to translate the colors in our image to the ones reproducible by any given device or output media. Another way to think of this is the difference between human languages. If one person only speaks English and another only understands Japanese, they have no way to communicate. For example, I understand the color red and the word red to describe that color. Now, of course, you'd be hard-pushed to find a Japanese person that doesn't understand the word red in English, but assuming that they don't, when I say red to a Japanese person, they would not know how to process that information. Likewise, assuming I didn't understand Japanese, if a Japanese person said the word akai to me, I would not understand them either, and not be able to process that information. However, if we had a dictionary to map the color red to the Japanese word akai, we could communicate. We'd both understand what red is and be able to visualize the color. On a very basic level, this is what an ICC profile does, but for millions of colors, not just one. Let's take a look at the problems we're trying to overcome in a little more detail. The core piece of information that we need to keep in mind is that every device capable of displaying an image has limitations on what colors it can display. These days, our computers understand millions of colors. They understand many more colors than they can display or print. You might think that's strange, but this is the same theory as my reason for recommending that people work in Profoto RGB. We need to edit with more wiggle room than we need, and then adjust this to the output device when necessary. More on this later. To illustrate the issues we face, I created a Granger chart in Photoshop following steps on the Luminous Landscape website, and I'll make the words here a link in the blog post, and you'll probably need to go to the blog post to see the Granger chart as well, so go to mbp.ac/577 for the links and the images. This chart contains way more colors than our displays or printers have the ability to reproduce. That's why there are some crunchy gradations in the chart, and those nasty steps in the gradations will change depending on the device on which you look at the image. Take a look at the image on two different displays or on your phone or tablet, and you'll see differences ranging from very slight to quite drastic depending on the device. Note that I also use these charts in printing tests, sometimes because they force the printer and media to very bluntly show us what they can and cannot do. More on that shortly too. Note that I used Profoto RGB to create the chart, but I had to convert it to sRGB for the web version, so the colours get scrunched a little during that process as well. This is one of the challenges we face. Although things are gradually changing, sRGB is still the standard colour space for the web. To really see the original chart, you'll need to create one yourself. And like I say, the links, these words in the manuscript on the blog are linked to the directions to actually enable you to create your own. And then try moving it across displays if you use a multi-monitor computer. If we turn the clock back 25 years, personal computers were just starting to be able to work with more than 256 colours. But a lot of technology was still restricted to just 256 colours. In Photoshop, I used the Granger chart that I created and changed the colour mode from 16-bit colour to 8-bit and selected indexed colour, then chose to change colours perceptually to at least give the image a chance to show us a few more steps, and then reduced the image to 256 colours. Here are the results in the next image that I've posted on the blog. The image looks so bad because it contains the full spectrum of colours. So when allocating these to just 256 slots, there's no room to save the colours required to create the finer gradations. My first PC that I bought back in 1994 was considered relatively advanced for the time, but it could still only display between 16 and 32,768 simultaneous colours out of a possible 4,096 to 16.777 million, depending on the video mode. And the imaging software available to me at the time was mostly restricted to only 256 colours. I recall displaying and even doing some early printing of these images, and I regularly used indexed colour because it would select the most used 256 colours in my images. Here's a photo that I converted to index colour with 256 colours to remind myself of those days and the limitations that we faced. And you can see how nasty the gradations in the sky and clouds become as we force the image to display itself with such a small number of colours. It's better than the 256 colour Granger chart though, because there is a much smaller range of colours that need to be assigned to the 256 available slots. In printing, we can simulate the issues that we're working to overcome and prove how much ICC profiles help us by printing the Granger chart without any colour management. I printed it directly to a matte media, which has a smaller colour gamut, and that means it can produce a smaller range of colours, and I turned all colour management off. This is what the print looked like. Compared to the image that we looked at earlier, you can see that the colours are very different and some even missing altogether. Then I printed it again with the colour management turned on and the ICC profile that I created for this media assigned. This is effectively telling the software how to interpret the image to get it as close to the colours that the ICC profile tells the software that my printer can reproduce. Here is the resulting image. Keeping in mind that the Granger chart contains many colours that my printer simply cannot print, making it look very different to the chart above, but I'm sure you'll agree that the colours themselves are much closer to the chart than the version that we printed without any colour management. If I was to print the chart out on gloss media, which has a much wider colour gamut, we'd see more colours again, but it would still not be the same as the computer-generated Granger chart above because of the limitations of the printer. Keep in mind too that this is not because I have a bad printer. I have one of the best printers available today, but this is the reality of where printing technology is today. So just to recap, using a 3D rendition of my displays and matte media ICC profile, the important thing to keep in mind is that all of these devices are different. As you can see, my matte media printer ICC profile is the smallest, then my iMac display is a bit bigger, and for reference, that is actually just a little bit bigger than the sRGB color space. Then the largest wireframe profile here is my BenQ 4K SW320 wide gamut display, which is about the same as the Adobe RGB color space. All of these ICC profiles are different, and so we use ICC profiles to interpret the difference, just like an English-Japanese interpreter might help two people that do not share a common language to communicate. With the aid of the interpreter, they might not have 100% smooth communication, but they will be able to understand each other and get closer to fully understanding than they would without any help at all. In computer terms, the interpreter in this situation is called a CMM or a color management module. This is generally provided as part of the computer operating system or built into our image editing software. For example, in Adobe Photoshop, if you select color settings from the edit menu, you'll see a conversion options area with an engine pull-down. That's where you select the CMM that Photoshop will use when interpreting colors and matching colors between various color spaces and ICC profiles. I generally leave mine set to Adobe ACE, but if you look in the pull-down, you'll also see Apple CMM, which is built into the Mac OS. What you are basically doing here is selecting the interpreter. They may do their job slightly differently, but will facilitate communication between the various color spaces and ICC profiles all the same. Just as we have output profiles for displays and printers and any device that is used to reproduce an image, we also have input profiles for devices that are used to input images, such as our cameras or scanners. They follow the same principles and basically act as one side of the interpretation that I've been talking about here. You can think of the camera color space as English in our human language example, and Japanese would be the printer or display, or vice versa. If you're wondering where these profiles come from, in the case of input devices, there's generally some kind of proprietary computation going on inside the device before the image is saved to the memory card. Or in the case of a scanner, you'll often specify which profile to use, but it's built into the scanning software. It's also possible to create camera profiles for Lightroom and Photoshop using the X-Rite Color Checker Passport. You just photograph the Color Checker Passport and then use X-Rite software to make a profile. Unfortunately, with this method, the profile is saved in a format that isn't easily used as an ICC profile, and my attempts at creating a useful ICC profile with the Color Checker Passport and the larger X-Rite Digital Color Checker SG card using the X-Rite software have so far not been very successful. Luckily, because I use Capture One Pro, they already have a great profile for my camera built in, so this isn't urgent. But I'm also considering picking up Basic Color Input 5 at some point to see if I can make my own camera profiles with that. I'll let you know how I get on with that if and when I do pick it up. For displays, at the basic level, your display manufacturer will provide a profile or it will be handled by your computer's operating system. But to ensure the most accurate color, it's best to create your own ICC profile for your display with a colorimeter or spectrometer, such as the ones available on B&H that you can get to with my short link mbp.ac/bhcolor. If you use print media from your printer manufacturer, they often come with ICC profiles for their media that are installed with the printer driver software. And if you use third-party media, such as the media that I use from Breathing Color, you can often download the ICC profiles for your printer from their website. The standard color spacers that I've mentioned were created by various bodies. According to Wikipedia, sRGB was created by HP and Microsoft in 1996 for use on monitors, printers, and the internet, and subsequently standardized by the IEC as IEC 61966-2-1:1999. Adobe RGB was developed, as you might imagine, by Adobe Systems Inc. in 1998. It was designed to encompass most of the colors achievable on CMYK color printers, but by using RGB primary colors on a device such as a computer display. CMYK is common in commercial printing, and photographers generally use RGB even when printing most of the time, so we won't spend any time on explaining that today. The Profoto RGB color space, also known as ROM RGB, or Reference Output Medium Metric, is an output-referred RGB color space developed by Kodak. It offers an especially large gamut designed for use with photographic output in mind. Creating a custom ICC profile for our devices generally involves showing the software that will create the profile a series of color samples. This software usually comes with the device or color target used. To create a camera profile, you include, say, a color checker in one of your photos, and then the software finds the color patches to understand how your camera has recorded the colors. Because the software knows the actual physical colors of each of the color patches, it's able to then calculate the difference and create a table of linkages between the colors in our image and the actual colors that should have been recorded. Those linkages or mappings are what are included in the ICC profile, or in this case, the camera profile that gets added to Lightroom or Photoshop's Adobe Camera Raw module. When you create an ICC profile for your computer display, you attach the profiling device to the screen. The profiling software then displays a series of colors on the screen, and the device reads each color, again so that it can understand how each color is reproduced by your display. It then calculates the difference between what it sees and what it knows the colors to be, and creates the profile containing the mappings between the various colors. When creating a printer profile, you print out a series of color patches and then scan them with the profiling device, as you can see in this photo on the blog. The process is the same here, though, as the software then takes the color information that it scans from the printed media and creates a mapping between what it knows the colors should look like and what they actually look like. And that becomes your ICC profile for that specific type of media when printed on the same printer. Just as you would have to create a separate ICC profile for both displays if you use a dual display system, you have to create a separate profile for each type of media that you use. And if you use multiple printers, you'd need to create a separate profile for each printer and for each media type. Although the printer manufacturer or third-party manufacturer's profiles are usually pretty good, you'll generally get better results by creating your own custom ICC profiles. So we've talked about input ICC profiles for cameras and scanners, as well as output ICC profiles for displays and printers. When you open an image in your imaging software, you'll use what's referred to as a working color space. This is where I recommend using Profoto RGB, because it's a very large color space that gives us plenty of wiggle room in which to adjust the colours in our images as necessary. Some people recommend working in smaller colour spaces such as Adobe RGB or sometimes even sRGB because there are limitations on our output options, but this is the wrong way to think about this. To maintain the most colour information, use Profoto RGB so as not to limit your image unnecessarily. Note once again that our cameras generally capture colours that do not fit within the sRGB or Adobe RGB colour spaces, so let's give them room to breathe during our editing. In this graph, I've included the Canon 5DSR ICC profile from Capture One Pro, along with sRGB, the small solid colour shape, and Adobe RGB, which is in wireframe. And you can easily see that my camera's profile extends outside of both sRGB and Adobe RGB color spaces, but it fits nicely inside the Profoto RGB color space, except for a small area of the blues. Note that when working in Lightroom, it uses a proprietary color space similar to Profoto RGB, and you can't change that. This in itself should be a good indication that this is the way to go with regards to selecting a working color space. Capture One Pro has its own color space too, but you'll generally be working on your images in the color space for your specific camera, and there's usually not going to be a reason to change that. So whenever you get a choice, for example, if you're working in Capture One Pro or Lightroom, and you are going to send your images to Photoshop or any other image editing software, there's always an option to select the ICC profile. My advice is to always select Profoto RGB unless you have a reason to select something different. For general editing, keep your images in Profoto RGB as long as you can. As you saw in the screenshot from Photoshop earlier, I set Profoto RGB as my working space, and I turn on the option to ask me what to do if the image that I try to open does not use Profoto RGB. There's no point in exporting from Lightroom or Capture One Pro in Adobe RGB, then converting either. Send what you need to avoid wasteful conversions. If you have at some point been influenced by someone telling you that you should use Adobe RGB as your working color space, ask yourself, why shouldn't you use Profoto RGB? Just as you'd need to select Adobe RGB as you pass images around your computer in your digital workflow, you can just as easily select Profoto RGB. You lose nothing, but you gain the wiggle room that your images need to be as high quality as they can possibly be. The idea that you should squeeze them into a smaller working space during your editing just because they'll get squeezed when you output them later for a specific purpose is seriously flawed. Applications like Capture One Pro and Lightroom enable us to work on our raw images throughout our entire workflow without any negative aspects. If you need to create a TIFF or a Photoshop PSD file, you can work with Profoto RGB just as easily as any other color space. Think of sRGB and Adobe RGB only as export profiles. Use these when exporting images for a specific purpose. For example, whenever I finish selecting my favorite images from a shoot, I save a copy as a JPEG to the Apple Photos application, so that it automatically gets synced around all of my devices. As I mentioned in a recent post about how I use Apple Photos. When I export these images from Capture One Pro, I specify sRGB as the color space because they are only JPEGs for displaying on various devices. If you're going to send some images off to a printing lab to get some prints made, they will probably ask you to give them JPEGs in sRGB or hopefully Adobe RGB. Personally, I would avoid using a service that only uses sRGB, but Adobe RGB is generally fine for this specific purpose. When printing at home, usually now directly from Capture One Pro, My images are still in the RAW format, using the camera profile provided. If I was to print from Photoshop, I'd use the Profoto RGB color space when saving my file for print. Okay, so enough on that. I hope you get the message, and I hope this has helped you to understand why we need ICC profiles and the different types and uses of these profiles. If you have any questions or would just like to comment, please do so on the blog at mbp.ac/577. I love to hear from you. Before we close, I'd like to quickly mention that I've set up a new tour to Morocco from October 29 to November 10, 2017. We'll be photographing the wonderful architecture, landscape, and culture of this beautiful country, as well as using camel handlers as models to photograph them leading their camels through the sand dunes, etc. We don't have much time to lock in on this, so if you might like to join me, please check out the details at mbp.ac/Morocco. That's MOROCCO. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. Subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. If you have a moment to rate the podcast or leave us a review in iTunes, that helps to keep us relevant in the huge number of podcasts out there now. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back in just over a week. As I release this, I'm actually going to be in Namibia, and I get back next Monday. So I'm going to need a few days to sort of get myself back together and create the podcast. So it'll be a little bit late, but I will be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.